Hello and welcome to the Agape House New Testament Church podcast. Today's sermon is brought to you from our sermon series, True. We hope that this message is a blessing to you. Stay tuned after this sermon to learn about how you can connect with us. Now, here is Pastor Wickham.
It was going to be the perfect Valentine's Day. George Garcia had it all planned out. He was going to take his girlfriend Barbie out on a special date. They would do something romantic, like go out for dinner. Then, when the perfect moment had come, George was going to ask Barbie to marry him. He had a special ring to give to her. And then, well then, George was going to lean in and give Barbie the kiss of a lifetime. There was only one small problem. When George asked Barbie to go out with him, she said she wasn't feeling well. It seemed like she'd caught a head cold, and she didn't think she could go. George pleaded with Barbie to go out with him. It was Valentine's Day. He even told her they could go somewhere casual, so she didn't have to get dressed up. And finally, after much pleading, Barbie agreed. So the big date was all set. Even though the venue wasn't quite what George had planned, nevertheless, the date went on. Finally, the perfect moment came. George popped the question and presented Barbie with a beautiful diamond ring. With his heart pounding, George leaned in for the perfect romantic kiss of love. But just as George prepared to kiss Barbie, suddenly she had an uncontrollable urge to sneeze. She tried to fight it off, but as George moved his lips into place, Barbie couldn't control herself any longer. She sneezed a huge sneeze, and mucus flew all over George's face. The perfect Valentine's Day, with the perfect kiss at the perfect moment, turned into a mucus shower. The moment was spoiled, and the romance was gone. But fortunately for George and Barbie, the unexpected interruption to their Valentine's Day bliss didn't spoil the most important thing, their true love for one another. In fact, George and Barbie's very imperfect Valentine's Day happened 56 years ago. And the last time I checked, George and Barbie Garcia were still happily married. There's a surprising lesson for all of us in the true story of George and Barbie Garcia's imperfect Valentine's Day. True love is more than a romantic night out or a perfect Valentine's Day celebration. True love is more than a hot kiss or a physical relationship. True love endures through time, through good and bad, through ups and downs, in sickness and in health. And to have the perfect Valentine's Day, all you really need is true love. The problem for most of us is that we have the wrong idea about what true love really is. Most people today think true love is what you get on Valentine's Day, flowers or a dinner out or gifts or sex. But you can have all those things and lack true love, and you can lack all those things and yet still have true love. See, true love isn't a gift or a feeling or an event. It's something far better. So let's take some time together today to discover the surprising truth about true love. But before we do, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you are the source of all true love in the world. And I pray today as we come into your word to study and into your presence to learn, that you will speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open up our eyes and give us revelation of what true love really is, so that we can begin to practice and experience it in our lives. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to bring us light and life and true love. We thank you by faith that at the end of today, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment now and join your faith with mine. Put your hand on your chest and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. It's great to have you with me as we begin a new sermon series titled True. Over the next few weeks, we're going to find out what's true about the important issues we face today. And because this is Valentine's Day weekend, we're starting off with the sermon, True Love. We're going to dive into God's Word and find out the surprising truths about true love. Now, you may think the Bible is not the best place to find out about true love, but I disagree. After all, God knows all about relationships and the problems we have with them. He's watched every problem in every relationship from the beginning of time. He's aware of all the excuses, all the confusion, all the emotions, and all the pain that relationships can bring. He's seen it all, and He cares. He knows how to rescue you and how to help you in your relationships. And not only that, but our scripture text for today tells us clearly that if you want to define true love, you have to get your definition from God. Listen to what God's word tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Everybody say, love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Just say that together with me. God is love. The scripture is as plain as it can be in these verses. True love comes from God. So you cannot experience true love in any form unless it originates in the Lord. And not only that, but verse 8 says God is love. In other words, the very definition of true love is everything that God is. Whether it's family love or love in the church or love in the community or romantic love, all true love has its origins in God. And God sets the standard for what true love is. So let's go to God's word and discover three surprising truths about true love. And here's your first truth today. True love considers the consequences. Now, I'm sure that may not be what you expected to hear at all. You may be thinking, what? What are you talking about? What does considering the consequences have to do with true love? Yet that is exactly what God does. And since we know that God is love, we know that love does what God does. And when God looked down in love on mankind, He showed His love by considering the consequences. See, if true love was just an emotion, then God would not have always loved man. It didn't make God feel good when Adam and Eve sinned. God didn't have joyous emotions when man turned his back on God and disobeyed. In fact, the Bible tells us that God was brokenhearted over man's rebellion. But God's love is not based on emotion or how He feels at any given time. God's love is not based on what we do or don't do. Instead, God's love always chooses what's best for those He loves. Every action and every decision God makes is based on what will bring the best consequence to those He loves. So here's a simple summary about true love. I practice true love when I choose the highest good of the one I love. That's what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. Jesus was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy He knew would be His afterwards. And now He sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. So let's understand, friends, it didn't feel good for Jesus to come and save us. But God considered the consequences for us, the ones He loved. If He did nothing, we were condemned to eternal judgment. If God did nothing, we had no hope. But if He paid the price and suffered and died to save us in spite of the pain of His sacrifice, then He knew the consequences would be our redemption. So God didn't consider His own feelings. He considered what was best for the ones He loved. And Jesus showed us true love when He died on the cross. He was willing to endure the pain to get the right result. He considered the consequences for the ones He loved, and He counted the cost to give us what we needed. This is the opposite of what most people think about true love today. Today, most people think true love is first and foremost a wonderful feeling. When we think of true love, we think about emotions. And emotions don't stop to take time to consider the consequences of their feelings. In fact, emotional love tends to drown out the voice of reason. And that's the problem for millions of people on Valentine's Day. We approach true love as an emotional issue. So how can we move beyond an emotionally based approach to relationships and begin to experience true love? Well, first of all, let's understand a few things about ourselves and how we act and think when it comes to relationships. And first of all, you need to understand that we all tend to be self-deceived when it comes to relationships. You see, personal decisions are emotional by nature. Emotions are wonderful and they're necessary, but for all the good they do, emotions make poor decision makers. Because relationships and sexual issues are so emotional, we tend to follow our feelings rather than consider the consequences. And feelings are deceiving. You can't trust your emotions. That's why Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." In other words, every one of us has a tendency to see right and wrong from the lens of our own personal emotions. We cannot trust in ourselves alone to make wise decisions because emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. Our emotions make the obvious less obvious. That's the lesson we learn from the tragic true story of Yaa Nimakoa from Sumenakesi in the eastern region here in Ghana. The 26-year-old lady had been dating a young man named Yao Darko for the past 5 years, even though her parents were against the relationship. They saw danger signals in the young man, but Yaa only saw love and gifts and romance. Then on Valentine's Day, Darko asked Yaa to go out with him. Her parents attempted to prevent their daughter from going on the date, but she insisted and went with him anyway. She felt love. But later that night, Darko attempted to rape her. When she refused to have sex with him, he went into a fit of rage and stabbed her repeatedly. 26-year-old Yaa Nimakoa died on the way to the hospital on Valentine's Day. When our emotions are stirred, we can hardly see straight. Emotions fog our judgment. Lust, anger, jealousy, insecurity, arrogance, they blind our eyes and twist our hearts. And it's next to impossible to hear the voice of wisdom when your emotions are raging. In fact, we don't even want to know what the wise thing to do is in the moment of emotion. See, friends, here's the truth. Emotions are wonderful. Life would be dull without emotions. But you were not created to live by your emotions. You were created to live in love. And true love is much more than a feeling. True love will come with emotions, but it is not based on emotions. Something may feel right. It may appear right, but that doesn't make it right. And this is especially true when it comes to the feelings and emotions we have regarding love and sex. We're blinded by our own desires. We don't see objectively. And because we're deceived, we make the next mistake. We all tend to look for loopholes when it comes to relationships. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself where you talked yourself into doing something you knew you shouldn't do? Something like this: "I probably should not eat that second piece of cake. But you know, I had a tough day. And this cake will make me feel better. I deserve it. After all, I just won't eat any cake tomorrow." Or this: "I probably should not stay up late and watch this movie. But you know, I can handle it. If anything bad comes on the screen, I'll just close my eyes." Or, "I probably shouldn't call him back, but I'm curious. So let me just see what happens." There are some things you know you shouldn't do. Not that it's wrong, but it's just not wise. But we talk ourselves into a dumb decision. And then when we follow through on that dumb decision, we say, "How did that happen? How could I have been so blind?" It happens because you made a series of choices that weren't wise. Those choices may not have been wrong, but they weren't wise. We fail to consider the consequences. And often the decisions we face are not a matter of right and wrong. It's a bad idea to assume that if something is not wrong, then it must be right. As a Christian, you've been called to live beyond mere right and wrong. We should not ask what is permissible. We should ask, what would true love do? We should not ask, what can we get away with and not get caught? We should ask, what are the consequences for me and those I love? That's why 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24 teaches us, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. When you seek the good of your neighbor, you consider the consequences of your choices, and that's true love. And yet that's where so many of us are going wrong. We justify unwise decisions by pointing to the fact that they aren't wrong. Let's say, for example, that at your workplace, there's a beautiful lady who's very friendly to you. She's a client, and it's your job to work together with her on a project. As you get to know her, you like her, and it's obvious she likes you. But both of you are married. You want to spend time with this certain lady, so you justify your decisions. After all, there's nothing wrong with having lunch together. After all, she's a client. So you go to lunch and you enjoy it. And then next week, you go to dinner, for there's nothing wrong with having dinner. You planned it with your coworkers, but none of them show up and it's just the two of you. But it's okay, because it's not wrong to just have dinner. At dinner, you start talking, and there's nothing wrong with working late together. There's a timeline and a deadline, and you have to get it done. But as you work late together, you start talking about your families. There's nothing wrong with confiding in your lady friend about your marriage problems, and there's nothing wrong with listening to her talk about her husband. And then you notice one day she doesn't come to work. You call her, and she says she's not feeling well. So you decide to stop by her house after work to visit. After all, there's nothing wrong with stopping by her house. You don't intend anything to happen. But she's feeling badly. She's crying. It's her husband. She thinks he's cheating on her. And you feel sorry for her, and you give her a hug. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a hug. It's just a hug. Everybody push pause on this movie. Can you see where this is headed? One thing leads to another, and before you know it, the hug has led to sex, and the sex leads to the end of your marriage and the loss of your faith. If you were watching a friend do this, you would tell him exactly where he was headed. If you had a friend who, over the course of a few weeks, made those same decisions and justified them by saying there's nothing wrong with it, you could predict his future for him. And then when things get complicated and he says, I don't know how I got myself into this situation. I never meant for it to go this far. You would say, how could you not see what was coming? You didn't see the trouble coming because you allowed your emotions to lead you. There's nothing wrong with emotions, but they were never intended to guide your decisions. You didn't see the trouble coming because you allowed sexual desire to lead you. There's nothing wrong with having a sex drive, but you should never let sex drive. So don't look for the loophole in your behavior. Consider the consequences of every action. Ask yourself, how will this decision impact the people I love? For when you look for loopholes in your relationships, you discover the third fact that we're all guilty of in our relationships. We all tend to push the limits when it comes to relationships. Pushing the limit is okay for some things. If you have a big exam on Tuesday morning and you wait until Monday at midnight to prepare, you're pushing the limit. But you may escape and you may still score a good mark. If your flight is leaving at 10:25 and you leave your house to the airport at 9:45, you're pushing the limit. You may still make it, but if you don't, there's another flight tomorrow. But if you live on the edge morally, and you go over the edge, the consequences can set your entire life in a wrong direction. That's why God says in 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. God doesn't just say run from sexual immorality. He says have nothing to do with anything that could possibly stimulate or arouse sexual desires. Any movie, any song, any television show, any event that pushes the limit to see how close you can get, you must stay far away from it. See, our goal should not be to see how close we can get to the edge. Our goal should be to see how far away from the edge we can stay. Don't push the limit. That's the command we find in Romans 13:14. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And God says to you today, make no provision to fulfill lust. Don't be alone in the room with a person of another sex. Don't do anything or go anywhere that will make an allowance for you to yield to lust. For see, the fact is, God sees what you don't see. He sees the powerful damage we do to our lives in the areas of relationships and sexual immorality. So what's the right thing to do when emotions are high and appetites are inflamed? To get beyond emotions and experience true love, you have to stop and consider the consequences. That's what the wisest man who ever lived taught us. Listen to this wise king, King Solomon. He said in Proverbs 14, 15, and 16, the prudent, the wise man, carefully consider their steps. The wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. And when you have true love for someone, you think beyond the immediate pain or pleasure, and you act in the long-term interest of that person. And that's why we need boundaries. We need limits set by someone wiser than us so that we won't follow our own ways and be deceived. And when you refuse to listen to God, you think you know better than him, then you are deceived. We exempt ourselves from the laws of God and believe we are above the consequences. And that brings us to our second surprising truth about true love. True love keeps God's commandments. What, you ask? What do commandments and true love have to do with one another? See, most people think love overrules God's commandments. Most people are deceived into thinking that if I have true love, I don't need commandments. But because we all tend to be self-deceived about relationships, we need an outside source of wisdom to keep us on the path of true love. Because we all tend to look for loopholes and push the limits in our relationships, we need God to direct us so that we can stay on the right path. And that's why God equates true love with fulfilling his laws. Listen to Romans 13, 9 and 10. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. For love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. True love fulfills the requirements of God's law. True love keeps God's commandments. In fact, listen to what God says in Galatians 5:14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill the whole law of God when you practice true love. In the world today, we've switched it around. In the world today, we think true love is seen when you give the person you love what he or she demands. A child might say, if you love me, give me what I want. But a parent with true love knows that not everything your child wants is best for him or her. A parent with true love has limits on what the child will eat, or where the child will go, or what the child will watch. True love from a parent considers the consequences and lays down laws to protect the child he loves. A boyfriend may say, "If you love me, you'll sleep with me." But that's not what God says. God sees the consequences of sin. And he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If you love me, you'll consider the consequences. That's why in John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And that's what true love will always do. True love will always consider the consequence for the one it loves. And true love will always keep God's commands. See, the fact is, God sees what you don't. He sees the powerful damage we do to our lives in the areas of relationships when we follow our feelings and do what we think is right. And there's no area where this is truer than in the area of relationships and sexuality. Today, we equate true love to sexual relations, but God has placed a limit on sexual relations, and true love will never break those boundaries. Friend, I cannot deny the truth. I cannot lie to you today. There is no way you can read the Bible and come to any other conclusion than this. Sex outside marriage is sin, and it's a serious sin. Sexual immorality is worse than you think. The stakes are higher, and the consequences more severe. Listen to God's word in Ephesians 5, verses 3, 5, and 6. Let there be no sexual immorality or impurity among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. For of this you can be sure, no immoral or impure person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. And you can make all the excuses you want, but the truth is this: those who continually practice sexual immorality will not make heaven. They're not part of God's kingdom. There's no way you can continually live a life of fornication and be a Christian. It's not possible. I know that many people today have come to accept fornication, adultery, pornography, masturbation as a normal part of life. I know many people today think, it's not bad or wrong. There are many, even in the church, who have the attitude that says, well, I know it's a sin, but it's no big deal. It's not so bad. I can do it and God will forgive me tomorrow. Friends, I don't know how the Bible can be any plainer or more clear to us today. There's no place in the church for sexual sins. And anyone who practices fornication or adultery has no place in God's kingdom. And God's wrath and judgment will come on those who disobey. For God tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And if you understand the damage that sexual immorality will cause in your life, you will do everything you can to get away from it. In fact, that's exactly what God commands us to do. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, he says, flee, run away from, escape from sexual immorality. And we have to flee because the power of sexual sin is greater than you think. This is something every husband wants his wife to do. Every wife wants her husband to do. Parents hope their kids will stay as far away from immorality as possible. But few of us embrace this for ourselves. We play with temptation instead of fleeing. And we think it's not a big deal to commit fornication. We underestimate the consequences of sexual sin. But there is a terrible price to pay for sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 goes on and says, all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And understand that sexual sin is in a category of its own. I'm not saying it's worse than other sins. I'm saying it has a unique effect on us. For 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. And your soul is under attack when you commit fornication. I know if you repent, God can and will forgive you. But what's at stake is not forgiveness. What's at stake are consequences. It's time to stop pretending that fornication is not serious. It's time to stop pretending that there are no consequences for this sin. I can do it tonight and God will forgive me tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow night and he'll forgive me again. It's time to stop pretending that we can commit fornication and go free, for there is a consequence and a judgment that will come. Even if you're forgiven, you can't automatically remove and reverse the devastation that sexual sin can cause. Many years ago, there was a young lady in my church in Nigeria. She slept with so many boyfriends, and she ended up having so many abortions. She damaged her womb, and to this day, she cannot bear children. She's married to a pastor, but they have no children because the consequence of her sexual sin abides to today. Around the same time, there was a youth leader at my church in Nigeria. He was seduced by a young woman and he fell into fornication. Within 3 months, he developed mental illness. He lost his job and went mad. The woman was a witch and she used her connection with the man to penetrate his spiritual life. See, the Bible tells us that when you have sexual relations with someone, you become one with them. Sex is not just an action, it's an adhesion. Sex is not an event, it's an equation. The two become one. Sex is not just a physical act, it's a spiritual mystery. And that's why we need to realize that our bodies are not ours to do with whatever we want. Our bodies belong to God. For 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Your body belongs to Christ. Every part of your body belongs to him. He bought you with the price of his blood. He purchased you on Calvary. So all you have and all you are now belongs to Jesus. A few years ago, I sold a vehicle I had owned for many years. The car had become old, and I wanted a new one, so I decided to sell the old car. A buyer came along and bought the car. He paid cash, and I signed the title of the car over to him. Imagine what the new owner would say if I now turned up at his house today and told him I wanted to take the car and use it. The new owner would have every right to stop me. He would say, I paid for this car. You used to own it, but now it belongs to me. I bought it. I gave you cash for it. You can't take it and use it. It's not yours any longer. And he would be right. Nothing I could say would make any difference. I might say, oh, I only want to use it just this once. It's just one time. It won't hurt anything. I'll give it back to you in the morning when I'm finished. But the fact is, the car isn't mine any longer. It doesn't belong to me. It has been bought with a price. And so it is with our bodies. We don't own them any longer. Christ has a claim on every part of you. You might say to Jesus, oh, it's only just this one time. I'll give it back to you in the morning. It won't hurt anything. You can take it later. But God says, no. He requires complete surrender from us. We are his. He bought us to deliver us from sin. Ladies, some of you have more privacy settings on your Facebook page than you do on your body. Why would you have privacy settings on your Facebook page, but your whole body is public knowledge? If a man wants you for your breasts, thighs, and legs, send him to KFC. You're a child of God, not a cheap value meal. You belong to Jesus, so dress like it and act like it. Instead of asking, how far can we go, ask, how do I honor God with my body? If you were to take this entire year, and for every decision you made regarding your body, you asked, how can I honor God with my body? Then you would have a very different outcome. You may think that it's impossible to honor God with your body, but in reality, when you experience and practice true love, it will become your desire to honor God with everything. When the power of God's true love fills your soul, you will want to honor God in your relationships, with your body, and in every area of your life. And that brings us to our third surprising truth about true love. True love is committed to follow Jesus Christ. You can experience true love when you make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And that's the good news for all of us today. For true love is possible for anyone and everyone. All it takes is to experience a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what our scripture text for today tells us. Looking again at 1 John 4, 7-8, remember what it says. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love, true love, comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When you understand that God is love and all true love comes from God, then you will understand that experiencing true love only comes to those who follow Jesus Christ. And when you commit to him, you will know his love. That's why Ephesians 5:1 tells us, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And when you follow Jesus, you will follow his example. You'll live a life filled with true love, not only on Valentine's Day, but every day. The best news of all is that it's possible for you to make that commitment to follow Jesus today. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's why he died and rose again, so that you could know him, so that you could walk with him, so that no matter what happens on Valentine's Day or any other day, you can experience a life of true love. The Bible gives us some simple steps you could take right now to make a commitment to follow Jesus. First of all, you have to admit you're a sinner. You have to come to God and say, Lord, I've sinned. I've committed fornication. I've committed adultery. I've stolen. I've lied. please forgive me. For 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And secondly, believe on the Lord Jesus. For Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And finally, commit yourself to God. For Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter preached and said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Today, if you understand that you've strayed away from God, you understand that you've left the holy path that he's desired for you, you admit today that you've committed sin, that you believe in Jesus, you want him as your Lord and Savior, you want to know him as your source of true love, if you will commit yourself to him by praying with me right now, I know the power of God's love will come in. His blood will cleanse you. He will free you and deliver you from every bondage. He will wash you and fill your life with true love. If that's your desire, I invite you to pray a simple prayer of commitment after me. As I pray, just join in and say these words after me. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to save me today. I confess I've sinned against you. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead so that I might be saved. I ask you to come into my heart now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Make me born again. I give my life to you and promise to obey you and follow you. Save me from sin. Deliver me from the devil. Heal me and fill me today. I thank you now by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now let me take a moment and pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone listening and everyone watching today, I know that every human being has in its heart's desire to find true love. On this Valentine's Day weekend, there are a lot of people, millions of people searching for love in the wrong place. But help us to know today that love is found in you. You're the source of all love. You are the definition of love. And help us, Lord, to be guided by the principles of true love in your word, that we'll consider the consequences and always choose what's best for those we love. Lord, today I pray you'll help us, oh God, to keep your commands. Fill us with the power of your love and your spirit that we will dedicate all of our lives to you, all our body, all we have, all we are, and that we'll walk in the ways of your commands so that we might please you. We commit our lives to you today, Lord, to follow you. Come and fill us with your love. Come and experience that love in our hearts, Lord, that we might know you and be your children. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. I hope you prayed today in faith from a sincere heart. If you did, you can take the next step to grow in your new life. Here's what I want you to do today. Just WhatsApp the word Jesus to the WhatsApp number on your screen. It's +233 54 100 3877. I and my pastors want to bless you and help you. We're going to be praying for you, and we have encouragement and truth to give you as you follow Jesus with us. We are praying for you, and I want to help you live the life God has planned for you. That's why I want to encourage you to follow me on all my social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. As I share truth every day, your life will be built up and your faith will grow stronger. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. You'll find a wealth of teaching and inspiration to bless you as we share God's word together. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you and keep you walking in true love.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We are open to safely worship in person here at Agape Land, East Lagon, and you are always welcome to join us. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to our website, agapehouseghana.org, and click Give Online. God bless you.